My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, final, not quite the final hour of Ben and Woods, because we're going until 10:15 this morning.
Yeah, a little extra.
And the EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Sammy just popped in and said hello. He's well underway in his preparations for his pregame show today. Get you ready for the fourth game of the series between the Padres and St. Louis Cardinals. By the way, the season series will be decided today. 3-3 going into this last game. All the marbles on the line. Now, I don't think the Padres and Cardinals will end up tied at the end of the year.
So something would have had to go.
Don't think there'll be a tiebreaker involved in this one, but it is the season series on the line. All right, because we talked to Mason McCoy in our last hour, we have pushed Eno Saris back to the 9 o'clock hour, but he is on the line, so Paulie, if you would.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark, by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
You know, we have found, though, that now that there is no Game 163 tiebreakers, these season series numbers can actually end up being really important at the end of the year. So we've been keeping a much closer eye on things like Padres Diamondbacks, Padres Braves, Padres Mets, Padres Dodgers, and how the season series is going in case it does end up in a tie after 162 games.
Yeah, and it could totally do that. What's weird is that there's not that much juice about like who's going to be in the playoffs. It's pretty stratified right now, but who gets what seat is really what's up for grabs.
It's going to be. I mean, the last week, for us, we've got three against the Dodgers, three against the Diamondbacks, and it's pick your poison. I mean, it really is. It's you've shown the ability to beat the Dodgers this year, but I'm. It's that weird time of year too. As a fan, you're like, all right, Diamondbacks are playing the Mets. My gut tells me I want the Diamondbacks, who are scorching hot, to just lose as much as they can. But I also don't want the Mets to creep up. It's a weird position we get put in as sports fans sometimes, especially baseball fans.
I think there's enough cushion there. You want the D-backs to lose.
That's what I think, too. I did see there was actually a debate about this, and I couldn't wrap my head around the debate. They are electrically white hot right now, and clutch and all of the things that that scare you to death, if you're the Padres or the Dodgers or anybody else.
Well, I mean, the craziest thing for me is the one that I don't understand is they're leading the league in runs scored. That doesn't make sense to me when I think about the team. I'm like, yeah, they're pretty good, but right. Leading the league, I mean, for like 40 more runs than the Yankees. And it's funny, I think them and the Yankees couldn't be built more differently. The Yankees have a pair of players in Soto and Judge that are having maybe the best sort of pair of seasons on one team that has ever been in baseball. And then you look at the other guys, you're like, what's going on there? And then with Arizona, you're like, everyone's pretty good. You know, like, it's just one of those lineups that's kind of hard to get through because you can't be like, oh, now I get to take a break. You know, you get like one or two breaks tops. So, you know, Marte is kind of, you know, in the discussion for the MVP. I think some of the injuries have taken him out of it, and he's not like a front runner for it, but he'll get votes. And Jock has been resurgent there, and they just put together a really good lineup.
Let me ask you, you know, because it's almost certainly going to come into play either in the NL West, which has likely three playoff teams, or the AL Central, which has three playoff teams, but the division is still up for grabs. In that last week of the season, you're going to have to make a decision probably whether you want to use your top starters that last weekend and go for a better seeding or a division title, or if you want to hold them back so they're fresh and ready for a wild card series, a best of three, where you don't want to be left without, you know, your top two pitchers because you pitched them on Saturday and Sunday. Where do you kind of, in the debate of how valuable a bye is or home field advantage is versus having your pitching rested and ready for the start of the playoffs, where do you fall there?
Listen, you're gonna axe a round off. Like, I'm gonna take that.
Right. I mean, you go for it, but how close do you have to be? If you're two games back with three to play, you may need to punt on the division, knowing we can't chase something that is not in our control. Yeah. Hoping we get to the division, and then now we don't have Dylan Cease for the wild card series.
Yeah. No. That's. I think it is interesting. I think it's almost mostly a last day of the season decision. You know, last day of the season, day of the season, if you're tied or you're one game back, you know, for the division and you have the tiebreaker, then I would pitch your guy because if you win, you get into the second round, you get a bye, and byes are valuable because anybody can lose in the first round, you know, like we've seen that too. Like, so, it's a short series, anything can happen. And I know people have said, you know, the time off is bad. I have not found that to be as conclusive as people think. I think you look back and you go, oh, the Braves or the Dodgers or whatever, recent examples. But if you look across all the examples, it's not clear that time off is bad for you. So I would take the time off. I would take the free round if I had the choice. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like the Saturday starter, you know. If you start your guy Saturday, is he going to be ready again for the wild card series if you lose? So, you know, the second to last day, the third to last day, those would be some interesting decisions.
Yeah, and also it definitely affects bullpen usage down the stretch as well. You know, Mike Schilt the other night used Robert Suarez up four runs, and I love it. I'm fine with it. Like, I don't want to mess around. If I have a chance to get a dub, take the first game of the series, I'm doing it. I'm doing it every single time. I mean, the three-batter minimum changes all of that. It affects everything. I wanted to ask you, though, about our beloved closer, Bobby Fastballs, who, again, you know, kind of BABIPed a little bit to death last night. I mean, singles, you know, three singles in a row with two outs. Like, some nights it's just not your night. But the whiffs are down a little bit for him. What are you seeing, if anything, out of Robert Suarez?
I don't know that there's a real problem here. I will say that even last, like, you know, if you look at his career in a whole, he does not have that sort of 30-35% strikeout rate of some of the elite closers. It's a little bit of kind of run suppression and like homer suppression.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a kind of a Mason Miller thing where he's like striking out 48% of the batters he sees or whatever, you know. It's a little bit different. It's called a four seam, but it has that kind of it has like kind of two plane action, and his best secondary, which he doesn't throw that often, but his best secondary is a changeup, and changeups are interesting because they are linked with run suppression, but they are not linked as well with strikeouts. So, you know, he would probably have more strikeouts and be maybe a different pitcher, maybe a slightly better pitcher if a breaking ball is his best secondary.
Like some sort of slider or something like that. Yeah, I'm looking right now too. Throws his sinker, you know, 14% of the time, but I mean, he's a fastball guy. Throws his change. He's only thrown 89 changeups all year, and I obviously it's been really successful for him this season.
I think he could mix it up a little bit more. I mean, what we're seeing among relievers is there's more and more relievers that have two or three pitches and try to and four pitches, like trying to sort of mimic starters. And if you think of like Raisel Iglesias over on the Braves, he's not a guy who has the top end velo, but he has four pitches and kind of attacks relieving almost as starting, where you're trying to keep them off balance. He throws his fastball so much. Is it as good a fastball as like Mariano's cutter? You know, can he really throw it 80, 90% of the time? If I were him, I would try to find some other weapons that I'm comfortable throwing in the zone. I mean, a 93-mile-an-hour cutter that he never throws, like, I'd be interested to see what kind of a quality that was and if he could get some confidence in it for him. You know, Stuff Plus says that it's a decent pitch when he throws it and maybe throw the changeup more often.
I'd like to rope-a-dope everybody in the playoffs, and he just comes out and busts out his changeup then. I mean, you know, if you've ever faced a pitcher, he's throwing all heaters, and next thing you know, he breaks out a yacker on you in your second or
he's
third
He's Greg Maddoxing this thing.
You're like, good God, dude, where did that come from, and how did you land that 65 pitches in? But, yeah, I mean, it's...
And maybe they could be doing stuff like that. I have talked to pitchers where... You know, I've been like, so what about the curveball? And they're like, oh, well, you know, the third time I see the league this year, I see it some more. And you're like, amazing. Wow, you kind of planned out this whole year.
I think it's great. What a weapon.
And think about what, like, Suarez and all the Padres are doing right now. They're facing guys, the teams that they're going to have to face in the postseason, too.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic with us here on 97.3 The Fan. And today is a matchup. You had your new starting pitching rankings out for the final month of the season. They also include, opponents that they're going to face for people who are like picking up for fantasy and rotisserie purposes. But today's matchup is an interesting one. Get your thoughts on Michael King against Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray has had kind of the best numbers of any Cardinals pitcher. And Michael King's been solid all year long and continues to trend up here in the second half of the season. This should be a pretty good one in St. Louis today.
Yeah, and there's some similarities in that, I can think the sweeper is both of their best secondary pitches. And then they've kind of figured out their whole arsenal almost around those sweepers. And so, for this year, I think that King, like early on, he was trying to keep, a little bit of velo in the tank, because he was really sort of thinking about, trying to pitch all year. Yeah. And we've seen the velo actually sort of tick up over the course of the year. I think he's found his like ideal mix too. Like he's really throwing all four of his pitches like 25% of the time, basically. And that's what, that just keeps everybody off balance. And it's a little bit, when I watch him against lefties, I think it's a little bit more of a slog because he doesn't really want to throw that sinker so much. But what he's found in the last month is a place to put that sinker even against lefties. And so he's still maintaining, more of a sort of a, 25-25-25 approach.
Had a discussion about Blake Snell earlier in the show today and reports that he's probably going to opt out again in free agency. What do you think that this season has done for his value in the offseason? Nah. The slow start, but of course, obviously, the lights out second half with the no-hitter. Are teams going to be wary? Are they going to be more willing to give him a long-term deal than they were this last offseason? How is this going to go for Blake Snell?
I don't know. I mean, the whole reason he got that weird 2-year deal was because, no one was sure how many innings you could project for him. I think that most people thought he was an excellent pitcher and that he's been excellent. He's had some years with a 4 ERA, but, for his career, it's 1,000 innings with a 3.2 ERA for Blake Snell. I think most people realize he's a quality pitcher. It's just been really kind of up and down, 180 innings, 107, 128, 180. And then this year it's going to be, more like his 107, So if you're going into this, you're going to be like, okay, he's going to alternate maybe 150s and 180s and 100s. And so I should only pay him for that many innings. And so that's going to be a discussion. I guess a team with great depth in the minor leagues that says, hey, you can pitch for us when you're healthy, and then we always have another option because we're a great developing team. I don't know who that is.
So the Dodgers. You're saying the Dodgers.
Maybe the Dodgers. Yeah, they love signing
or trading for Glasnow.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're the Dodgers, you're like, well, if one or Snell or Glasnow are healthy, we're golden. If both of them are healthy, that's our year, you know.
I can't let myself get
there. See, now, I feel like that's an argument against a short-term deal. If you sign him to a long-term deal, you feel, okay, we're probably going to get two of the longer seasons, two of the shorter seasons. But like the Giants, they're going to get him for one shortened season.
$30 million,
and they're not going to make the playoffs out of it. I mean, that was the worst possible way you can sign Blake Snell.
Teams prefer short-term deals because they're just not stuck on something, you know, catastrophic injury or
you've never met AJ Preller.
Wants to Albert.
Yeah, you ever met AJ Preller?
Oh, could they add another huge contract on that? I don't know if they can.
Oh, well, you know, you are the best, man. Thank you so much. I'm fully expecting to see Bobby Suarez turn into Bobby fastballs turn into Bobby changeups in the postseason. Just watch people just dying up there. I mean, just dying. But no, I mean, it's going to be a fun one, man, and appreciate your time as usual.
Yeah, I love this Padres team. I think this is there's something about, you know, adding the contact to the power and then having, you know, Manny come around. And I want that, like, the Tatis piece to the puzzle. You know, I don't want to get anybody.
We're thinking about a week.
About a week, yeah.
Like, you're like, it's all there. It's all there. Everything's there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the bullpen is amazing. Like, get Tatis back. The lineup is really good. And, you know, Jackson Merrill's like late night Jackson. Do you guys have a nickname for him yet for that?
Oh, he's got a million. Jackson Merrill
Madness. Merrill Madness. Action Jackson.
Action Jackson. What did you say? Late night? What did you say?
Well, they had late night Lamont here. So there needs to be something. I'm saying he's so clutch
at the end of games.
Right, yeah. I mean, and the Padres generally with this, like, you know, more contact, I feel like, you know, they didn't win last night, but I was watching and I was like, you know, they could win this.
Oh yeah,
like, I was
always money Merrill maybe like in the
yeah in
the, yeah like money Merrill. Eno, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, see you guys.
There he is, Eno Saris from the Athletic, our weekly Smart Baseball segment brought to you by 7 Mile Casino.
Damn him,
Midnight Merrill.
Midnight Merrill's not bad.
It's never midnight.
It's not that late. Games are shorter now, so they don't go that long. So
we are stupid, crazy fanatics. Eno Saris is like the smartest baseball guy we know. Yeah. And so when he's like, I love this podcast,
I know.
I'm like, oh, don't do this to me. Don't get my hopes up.
Everybody in the national media. So Padres fans who are optimistic, the small amount of that always believe in the Padres, love the Padres. Everybody nationally also loves the Padres. The only people who don't love the Padres are fans. Doomers who know, unfortunately, from experience, something, you know, going to go wrong.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the thought process nationally is the San Diego Padres are an extremely dangerous team and a very legitimate World Series threat this year. But we've heard that before. We've heard that in the offseason before. We've heard AJ Preller has put together a World Series contender many times. We haven't heard it so often at the end of August and early September. 2022 is the only time after trading for Juan Soto, she even had the thought that the Padres could be a contender. And then even that year,
they get into September and just kind of backed in.
Most people thought, but they're still not going to be able to beat the Dodgers or the Phillies. They were still a clear level below those teams. Now, they did beat the Dodgers, but they didn't beat the Phillies. This year, no one is saying there's a team that the Padres can't beat 100%. In the playoffs.
And I believe it. And they believe it. Most importantly, those 26 dudes, they believe it. And that's something you really haven't felt here in a while. So don't know what it means. Could mean absolutely nothing.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
But again, I will remind everybody that the 12 teams that make the playoffs, and as Eno said, we kind of mostly know who those 12 are right now. You want me to? You know what? I'll list them off for you when we come back.
Okay. I love your lists.
I will tell you the playoff teams that Eno alluded to in his segment. We'll get to that coming up. Paulie's got a round of report as well. Back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, spoiler alert. Here are your playoff teams. We're a month away, and you can still, with reasonable mathematic confidence, say who the playoff teams, as Eno said. In the National League, there are only six teams that have a legitimate shot. The Mets are the closest coming. They have 13% chance of making the playoffs. You could add every team's chances beyond the six. You don't even get to 20%. So, in a normal world, more than
way too early to say this.
It's not though. Mathematically, it is not.
Ugh.
Your playoff teams: Dodgers,
not even September yet.
Dodgers, Phillies, Brewers, Diamondbacks, Padres, Braves.
Yes.
That in the world of math, that is very, very strong possibility.
The Mets are literally about to play the Diamondbacks.
One more time.
Just one more.
Yeah, yeah, one more.
Today.
They've missed their opportunity against the Padres, and now they split two with the Diamondbacks. They're not making up any ground. They have the best chance, of course, of catching the Braves. They're four games back. Is it possible? Yeah. About 13% chance that they can
all
do
right.
it.
That's something.
But something. But, you know, in the world of mathematics, you're going to take a 87% chance. I mean, if I'm asking you to bet $100 on something, you're going to take the 87% favorite. But even money, you know, give me the team that's an 87% favorite.
Yeah.
And that it's an 87% likelihood at this point, or close to it. That's the Dodgers, Phillies, Brewers, Diamondbacks, Padres, and Braves, who are going to make the playoffs. In the American League, it's not quite as certain, but still pretty strong. No team has less than an 81.5% chance of making the postseason. So your odds are it's going to be the Yankees, Orioles, Guardians, Royals, Twins, and Astros that make the playoffs. The Red Sox are the closest team out. They're three games out right now, 23%. So 1 in 4 chance that Boston messes things up. They sneak in. And Seattle's got a even less than that chance of maybe catching Houston. Doesn't seem like they're going to. So,
bro, imagine being the Mariners with that 10-game lead that you had and the starting pitching glut that you have, and you don't even make the playoffs.
Combine those two
sickening
leagues together, though, and there is a much better than, like, coins flip chance that those will be the 12 playoff teams at the end of the year that I just listed. There is certainly, within the realm of possibility of anything happening, that maybe the Red Sox or the Mets or the Mariners sneak in there. but pretty much not. And then everybody else is almost irrelevant. The Tigers have gotten up to 5%. The Cubs have been playing well. They've gotten up to 4%.
Wow.
Barely even worth mentioning playoff chances.
You need a
October, a Cardinals 17-game winning streak to have a chance at it.
Of course, have officially fallen behind the Diamondbacks in percentage. They've been ahead of them for weeks now, but Diamondbacks 96.6% chance to make the playoffs. Padres 96.4%.
Okay,
hit the panic button.
I'm terrified. They are a terrifying team.
But Padres still have a much higher chance to win the World Series, according to Fangraphs, than the Diamondbacks.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
5.7% for the Diamondbacks, 7.9% for the Padres.
Must be pitching projections or
schedule, strength of schedule down the road, potentially.
Could be part of it, possibly. But that should be reflected in the playoff odds.
Yeah, that's true.
If they have the Diamondbacks ahead, it must be something specifically to the postseason, that they like the Padres' chances better in the playoffs than the Diamondbacks.
Oh, man. You ready for this?
Yeah, the playoffs are excruciating.
It's excruciating.
And the last 2 weeks of September, it's just going to be bonus playoff type anxiety.
Yeah, there's nothing worse.
So hopefully there's not a ton of anxiety. Like, what I'm trying to tell you right now, turn the anxiety meter down at the moment. There'll be plenty of time for anxiety later.
Yeah.
But right now, when you're 96.4%, if you're having anxiety now, I don't know what to tell you what happens when every game is do or die when you get to the postseason.
It's every single pitch. Every single pitch of the playoffs. When the Padres hit, I can relax. Because you can't lose the game. You can't lose the game when you're hitting.
Well, the way I watch games is when the Padres are ahead, I'm stressed when they're pitching. Because you're fine as long as the other team doesn't come back. When the Padres are trailing, I'm stressed when they're hitting. Because then they need to score runs. Yeah. So they need to make something happen. So
I'm always fine on all. I mean, unless it's 5-6-7-0, right? The offense is like, all right, take a breather. Every ground ball that's hit, every fly ball that's hit, every pitch in the dirt. When we're on the bump is when it's just the most excruciating. Makes my hair fall out watching those games. Listen, it's like a drug. Matt Strom said, he goes, best drug I've never taken any drugs. Playoff baseball last year was like a drug and I have to have
it
again.
You got that massive,
that huge save
that we had him on.
Nobody expected them to call his number and everyone else was down.
Everyone in the country was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, and he just nailed it down. Oh, it was just ridiculous. So, yeah, man, the serotonin hits real good in the playoffs.
But now, remain calm. Remain calm for the time being.
I've been fairly calm.
You have been.
Yeah.
You've done a pretty good
fairly
job.
Fairly calm.
Bill, the Padres have given you no real reason
100%.
To panic. They've
100%.
Played a stretch of baseball since the All-Star break.
It's been beautiful.
Without really fail. They have won 2-game losing streak since the All-Star
insane.
Break.
Insane.
There's been no chance to actually panic, which has led some inappropriate panicking, like after a 4-3 loss yesterday on a walk-off single by Nolan Arenado. It's not a reason to panic. That's a baseball game.
Katrina says, math at any point, let alone this early in the morning, makes my head explode. This is his brain, though. This is like...
It is.
It's beautiful mind all the time.
I've got the little equations
just
that fly around
and
all over the place. Yeah.
I am... That is not me. I'm pure emotions. Pure.
Jeffrey says, what if you had a 3.6% chance of totaling your car? Well, you'd never leave the... you'd never leave the house.
Sure you would. 3.6?
No, that would be bad.
That's a high number?
Well, let me put it this way.
You have
too much
math. I
would
say you have a 3.6 chance.
Every day.
No, you don't.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that if you had a 3.6% chance of totaling your car, then you would total your car once a month. Because you're driving 30 times
right.
a month.
You're right.
You would total
right.
your car once a month. You would expect to total your car once a month. Now, the Padres are only playing this game once, though. There's only one playoff chase. So you can feel like this is one of those days. You're probably not going to total your car today. But one day, eventually, if you had a 3.6%, if the Padres had to go through the playoff chase 100 times between now and October, they will miss the playoffs like 3 times.
Yeah.
This is hurting my brain.
It is tough.
But
dude.
Fortunately, they only have to do it once. And you're almost certainly going to land on one of those other 97 this one time that you have to go through it.
Nobody says, and you're a nerd too. This is, I get what Goose Goss is just saying.
Fully you're out. A nerd too.
I fully, fully get it now because he has broken my brain. All right, we got to get the ride.
No, you do not want a 3.6% chance of totaling your car time you go out onto the roadways. Good. We'd need multiple cars every single year. We'd all be dead, essentially. All right, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. All right, Paulie's got some headlines in the Rindle Report, and he's got some names in the Rindle Report as well to share with us. Just let you know what that is when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Getting you ready for Padres and Cardinals. Now just about 40 minutes away from Sammy's pregame show, EcoWater SoCal pregame show. You'll have the Dodgers and Orioles wrapping up their series tonight in L.A. They play almost no day games. Have you noticed that midweek in L.A.?
Yeah.
They get night game. That'll be a 7:10 start. You've got
whoever they're playing. Like, the visiting team usually is staying locally, close to the West
Coast. Yeah, either they come down to San Diego or got an interleague series against, feels like it.
Anaheim, although
sometimes sometimes it's the last series and then they're going home, right?
Right.
Getaway day.
I've noticed that. They don't play a lot of, like, 1:10 Wednesday
day
games.
No, they do not. Only Sundays, really. Rarely.
You'd get 4,000 people there, right?
But you make all the other teams play getaway day games.
Of course.
Why not the Dodgers? I never always wondered that. Mets and Diamondbacks wrap up their series. That's a 12:40 start in Arizona with 2 out of 3 on the line for that one. But we've all, like the Braves and Phillies, huge series starts a four-gamer tonight in Philadelphia. Christopher Sanchez and Charlie Morton in the first one. That's a 3:40 start, actually. East Coast, a 6:40. But that's a big series. Because the Braves obviously are trying to hold off the Mets, hopefully, you know, trying to chase down the Padres and Diamondbacks for better positioning. The Phillies have been a little iffy lately, and you know they're trying to battle for the first or second seed.
5-5 last 10, yeah, man, they're going through it a little bit.
Giants and Brewers wrap up their series in Milwaukee, and that's an 11:10 start today. So those are the kind of key games on a Thursday. Coming up in Major League Baseball, in addition to the Padres and Cardinals completing their season series. Tickets as low as $2.
I was going to say, no game more key than this one in St. Louis. How's the weather? Are we looking good? Everything, you know, going to go off without a hitch?
According to AccuWeather, 84 degrees and sunny.
Oh, not, it's a beautiful day.
Not quite as bad as it's been.
Beautiful day in St. Louis. No excuses today, fellas. I rode for you, you know, the last few nights. I know it was very hot and humid. Today seems like a lovely day in St. Louis to take 3 out of 4 from this Cardinals team and just end their season tonight.
All right, let's check traffic, and then Paulie's going to give us some Rindle Report headlines here.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Just one thing to watch out for, a collision on the transition ramp westbound 8 at the northbound 15 connector ramp. A lot of Caltrans projects going on in and around the county, so you definitely want to keep those essential workers safe out there, guys. Please move over a lane if it's safe to do so. Also, keep in mind, if you are heading out of town for Labor Day weekend, now's the best time to leave rather than this afternoon. And same goes for tomorrow. If you can manage to leave before 11 a.m., you should be in pretty good shape. Friday afternoon, expect to have lots of company on the road, so plan around that. I'm Kelly Danik with Denon Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
Andy.
Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
Start off in the National Football League. Just, week and a half away?
Yeah, Thursday, right?
Oh, a week away.
Oh, wait. Yeah, a week from today.
Yes, right? 1 week from today.
Yeah.
Is there college football tonight?
Chiefs Ravens. Yeah, there is college football tonight. Week one starts with a few Thursday matchups.
I like Gotta take a look at the schedule for the weekend.
Indeed.
But we will start off in the NFL. Now, here in San Diego, we are no strangers to the conversation around unretiring numbers. Did you see that the New York Giants have unretired their number one?
I did.
For rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers from LSU. I didn't know this. That was the first number retired in professional football history.
Wow.
And they have unretired it. It was Ray Flaherty's number one.
Love Ray Flaherty. And love his work.
Big Ray Flaherty fans.
I mean, what he brought, the presence.
Just a beast.
He brought to that team is unparalleled.
Yeah. So Malik Nabers wanted to wear number one. He wore number eight when he was at LSU, but Daniel Jones wears number eight, so you're not going to get that one. He wore number nine through spring and summer workouts, but that belongs to their kicker, Graham Gano. So he asked the family, the Flaherty family, for permission to wear number one. They granted him permission, and the New York Giants have unretired that number.
It's wild. That's wild that you could do that.
You
and
can't.
That's pretty cool.
You're not allowed
just
to.
Just did it.
But why would you do it for a rookie?
He says, thank you to the Flaherty family for allowing me to wear number one for the New York Giants. I understand the responsibility, and I will do everything in my power to honor the Flaherty family and this organization. I will wear the number with great pride. Can't wait for the season to start.
Who is Ray Flaherty?
He joined the Giants in 1929. after 2 years as the Gonzaga basketball coach.
Okay. Was he their coach?
He was their coach.
Yeah.
He was and now he coach. Became a football coach.
He later became a professional football coach.
He was a
coach
player.
He was credited with the behind the line screen pass and the two platoon subsystem.
The screen pass is brilliant.
He was a basketball coach or a football coach?
Basketball. And then he went
I'm
to
reading,
football.
ESPN says he was the. This is from their.
According to the timeline, he played for the Giants in 1929, then became the head coach of Gonzaga.
Basketball.
In 1930.
Or football.
But Paulie says basketball. I don't know.
Well, they didn't have a football. I mean, they
He was the football coach. They did have a football team back then. He also coached the basketball team for a season. And then he went back to the Giants and played four more years.
He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the 70s. Retired number. And they have unretired it.
Hey, that's pretty cool that you could do that.
Yeah. I think it's really cool.
I mean, if you acquired like someone who had worn one their whole career, like that was their signature number.
Yeah.
And you want to put them in.
But I'm sure
but with a rookie
long,
who's just picking from any number.
I'm sure he's long passed away. What
yes.
does he care?
He died in 1994.
Okay, he doesn't care. His family is like, this
there.
Is badass, this
well, then,
kid.
Should all retired numbers, once the guy dies, then you just unretire it?
I really have no problem with it.
What number is Leo DeVries? He's not number six, is he?
Steve Garvey's still alive, so they wouldn't do that. So
you could ask for permission.
Sure. Could always.
The Garvey
I
family.
Know. I don't know that he'd get it, but he could ask.
I doubt very much he would.
Is this a smart move by the Flaherty family to raise awareness
for
of
Ray
Flaherty? Who, even I
what would be
never
the,
heard of
what
Ray
Flaherty.
What
would be the need to raise awareness for Ray Flaherty? He's already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but no one's really talking about him much
well, who
anymore.
Who cares, though? Like,
his now, accomplishments and such. And
bro, do you guys think that there was a financial component to this?
And he was a college friend of Bing Crosby, apparently.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Was
passed
there,
away 30 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe he came down to Del Mar one day to the races with Bing.
Was there a financial component?
Didn't say.
Okay.
Just said he asked for permission from the family, and he was granted permission.
Adam Paul says, you should know the history of, and that's all he says. You're right.
All right. So that was the pro football. Over to college football, I was sitting around yesterday scrolling the gram, and I came across this post from DraftKings Sportsbook. I've seen this in the past. They do it every year. The all-name team in college football, the all-name, has nothing to do with your skill. How you play on the field. It is just about your name. Of course, the captain of the team, the quarterback, is General Booty.
General Booty. General Booty, of course, is the nephew of former USC quarterback John David Booty.
Oh, I thought, wasn't there a Josh Booty as
and Josh
well?
Josh Booty is his brother.
Oh,
he's
okay.
also a nephew of Josh Booty.
Right. I had to look a lot of these names up. I'm like, there's no way. This
General Booty was at Oklahoma for a couple of years. Now I think he only played one game, though. Now he's transferred. Where is he at?
UL Monroe.
Yeah, starting quarterback of UL Monroe.
There is a wide receiver called DeColdest Crawford.
That's one we've
heard of. Badass.
D apostrophe Coldest,
right? No, D-E-S-T Crawford. There's also the other wide receiver on the all-name team is the wide receiver out of Defiance College, Da Realist Clark. That is D-A apostrophe R-E-A-L-Y-S-T.
Da Realist and DeColdest is incredible.
And then Fat Watts.
I'd be looking
Fat
for the Dreamer to pair with Da Realist.
Da Dreamer?
The Dreamer and Da Realist.
I'd be Da Chubby.
Their tight end is Rowdy, Husky. Rowdy Beers.
Rowdy Beers.
Rowdy Beers. Oh, that's great. That's, I mean,
like mini
pretty
Gronk.
Much. I mean, pretty much Gronk was Rowdy Beers when he played tight
Some
end.
Other funny names. Offensive lineman Tiger Shanks. Dodge Saucer. Haynes Hammer.
Dodge Saucer. Dodge How do you spell saucer?
Like, S.
Like flying saucer?
S-A-U-S-E-R.
S-A-U-S-E-R.
And then on the defensive side of things, we have a defensive lineman out of Purdue. Got to be very careful with this one. Shita. S-H-I-T-T-A. Scylla. Demon Clowney from Charlotte.
Shita Silly?
Scylla.
Scylla.
Scylla. Shita Scylla.
Let's see. They have a guy named Thunder Keck from Stanford.
All right.
Thunder. Linebacker out of Duke. Memorable Factor.
Amazing.
Memorable Factor.
So memorable.
At MF.
Linebacker out of North Carolina. Power Eccles. A linebacker named Power is terrifying if you're on the offensive side. Chief Borders. Major Burns. Defensive back out of LSU. There's a defensive back from Louisiana Tech. His name is Pig.
Pig. Pig. Not a nickname?
It says Pig Cage.
Pig
Cage. It's more of a pig pen or a pig sty than a pig cage.
I put a DB from Central Arkansas. His name is Dude Person.
Dude Person. So awesome.
And my favorite, defensive back out of Rice University. O-H. Mobility.
Mobility.
If you're his parents, you have to.
Ability. The Billities.
I mean, the Billity family has.
You've got to do it.
Mr. and Mrs. Billity.
Everyone's yelling at us. Did we see the Key and Peele sketch? I've never seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen this?
Uh-uh.
That's old.
I haven't seen it.
I'll show it to you during a break.
All right.
The Billity family has a lot of possibility for hijinks.
Like Mobility.
I mean, you just name like Arthur Billity, who goes by Ability.
Yeah. I like Mobility.
It's a reach. There's not a lot of.
Zach says, Responsa.
That's good. Very well done. Responsibility.
The F word.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's an important quality to have. Right?
That'd be a rough childhood.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, let me ask you guys. Are you guys a big fan of Capri Suns when you were a kid?
I had Capri Sun in my lunch bag probably every day for 5 or 6 years.
Give me the Pacific Cooler all day long. I haven't had a Capri
original
Sun
fruit punch.
Fruit punch. Yeah. They didn't even have any of the other.
They didn't have extra
fancy
flavors.
Designs when we were kids.
Capri Sun flavored Capri Sun.
You got one flavor and that was it.
But they're iconic. But the pouches.
There
then
was
they came
also
out with some weird strawberry one that was not great.
There was also the inherent problem though with Capri Suns.
Yeah.
And that was
the straw.
The straw going into the pouch.
Pouch was a brilliant idea. You wanted to drink it just because it had a pouch.
Stab the straw through the pouch.
The whole thing.
But you had to nail it just right. There was a lot that could go wrong with the pouch and the straw.
That's true.
There was the point. So the one
I'd
the straw
pick
had the point
one out of the box that didn't have the straw on the back.
That you get to school and you're trying to gnaw your way through it to just squeeze a little in your mouth.
Yes.
Bro, that was or it would fall like it
fall out
fall somewhere in lost in transit and then you're like, does anybody have a pair of scissors? Because I have to cut a little sleeve here and then suck it down real fast.
Worry no more, and I'm not sure how I feel about this. I guess it doesn't really matter. I can't remember the last time I had a Capri Sun, but Capri Sun, they says they're targeting adults. They are going to come out with bottles, plastic bottles, arriving soon in stores. They kind of look like Prime drinks or something.
Yeah, they're Gatorade. Yeah.
I put a picture up on the stream if you're watching us right now, but yeah, fruit punch, strawberry lime, Pacific Cooler. They're coming out with bottles, abandoning. I don't know if they're fully abandoning the pouches or still keeping them and just adding adding the bottles, but they got announced for an upcoming trade show in the snack world. 12-ounce bottles. They're going to start with the three flavors, fruit punch, strawberry kiwi, and my beloved Pacific Cooler.
No straw poking required.
Yep.
Says.
Just we make everything so easy for these kids these days.
Why is it that, you know those Coca-Cola Freestyle machines?
Yeah.
They never have Capri Sun available in those. They got like every other drink known to man.
Are they a Coke product?
Uh-huh. Probably not then.
I don't think so.
But you've never fountain. I've never seen fountain Capri Sun in my life.
No, I haven't either. Yeah, it's so delicious, though.
Wonder why they haven't tried that.
Spring training facilities out in Peoria, like when we go out for fantasy camp, they have the soda fountain with like 10 different items. It's all Gatorade. Every single one of them is Gatorade. It's
soda.
Awesome.
That's great. I had a Capri Sun recently, and they don't taste the same.
Not the same?
No. They're not the same. That's when we were kids.
Yeah, your taste buds have changed
quite a bit. They don't taste the same.
Nothing does. That's because your taste buds have changed over
the
years.
They've taken out all the bad stuff, a lot of the bad stuff. AKA the good stuff from when we were kids. Yeah, everything tastes different now.
My wife just reminds me, you had a Capri Sun almost a year ago. That's right. We had a Tier 1 basketball game on my birthday. My wife showed up with orange slices and Capri Suns for after the game. They still hit, man. I think they're still delicious.
Pretty elite snack, to be honest. But you can't. I mean, I couldn't. If I showed up at a Tier 1 game Sunday with orange slice, I mean, you'd get ranked out of the dugout.
But yeah.
So once you got the straw in, it was also the tiniest. Straw. So
no, you don't bring them. Hannah would have to. The team mom has to bring them. Then it's okay.
Hannah wouldn't be caught dead at a Tier 1 game, by the way.
You'd really have to drink it slowly.
Yeah.
Because it was a tiny straw.
But remember the best part of squeezing it all and getting every little drop out of it. I mean, the stab, what would you get? I'd get about 50%.
Yeah.
That was about 50%, which is a Hall of Fame, I think.
So sometimes you'd stab all the way through.
All the way through.
And then you'd have a leak.
You have to jimmy it down in there.
Then you're like, beer bong.
Yeah, you're beer bonging Capri Sun. Yeah, well, listen. Like I said, they're making everything too easy on these kids. They need to know the struggle that we had trying to get the stupid straw in your drink. It'd eat up your whole lunch sometimes. Sometimes they had the ones where you're like, I cannot get this.
Then but you didn't want to go too hard. So yeah.
And then it would snap. And you're like, I'm done. I'm dead. Not drinking anything. That's great. Thank you, Paulie.
You're very welcome.
All right. We are almost
We'd actually already be done with the show at this point and turning things over to Annie and Elston. But instead, we're going to come back for one more award-winning segment. Oh, if you only knew what we had planned for our last segment. It is...
Blow you away.
It is incredible. I mean, checking the rundown here.
Don't go anywhere.
Look at the rundown right now. It says 9:54, hard out to Annie and Elsa.
This is going to be carry on my wayward son. They'll be tripping you were gone.
Oh, well, there's something to plan for the last
Sammy
segment.
Get Sammy in here.
Yeah, we better get Sammy in here to save us. Coming back with a little bit more Ben and Woods before the pregame show next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we're screwed, everybody. I don't know if you guys saw the breaking news from Major League Baseball today. Just now, actually. Young Gravy has signed an official one-day contract to become a Cardinals player. Today's that day.
Oh, boy.
Young Gravy. Now, I tweeted, I feel like this should help us. I feel like it should work in our favor that Young Gravy is now a Cardinal.
Well, if he's like batting second and playing short, we're definitely, that's an advantage to the Padres.
Now, I have a question. Again, I read that tweet last week that said that the Hawk Tua girl has... I got Sammy real good. It said the Hawk Tua girl has declined a date with Young Gravy. And that's when I was like, I'm ready for the asteroid to come. I'm ready. It's fine. I've lived a great life. We all have.
Now, who's the bigger TikTok star, Young Gravy or Young Sam Levitt over here?
I think Young Gravy. Yeah, is that Hawk what Tua. He is? I thought he was a rapper.
I well,
Here's what I know about Young Gravy. He did have, and maybe Paulie can help me out.
No.
Okay. He did have a song at least a couple of years ago that was very big on TikTok. I don't know if it got played on the radio, if you would hear it anywhere outside, but on TikTok, it was a fairly big song. It was viral.
I need to hear it. Somebody has to find it. Please, Paulie.
I don't really remember what it was like. It was a couple of years ago at this point.
I bet it's terrible. I bet it is horrible.
I guess I was assuming, like,
maybe not.
Young Gravy, like, you know, if that's a rap name.
Yeah, I thought it was a rap name.
I assuming I like 400-pound guy would be Young Gravy.
Yes,
he's got like a size 22 waist. The guy
is demure, dude. He's
just waif-like thin.
And he's got very like blonde, kind of golden hair, if I remember.
Guy wouldn't know Gravy if it was poured all over his mashed potatoes. He's never eaten any in his life.
Yeah, and there was like,
he looks like my son if he was 22 or whatever.
I don't want to get into this wrong.
And malnourished.
But like there was Alley-oop without the hoop, they call me Jerry
Stackhouse. Dazing out in public, but your mama made me snap out. I didn't see that voice coming out of that guy.
He's stealing from Rick Astley. I can hear that.
Baby, y'all so clean. Gravy got cheese now, that's poutine. Gravy coming hot like I'm hopping off the griddle. Pull up on a kid if you're trying to get belittled. All the mamas love me now, I think I'm being brittle. I like it. The rainbow. I like it.
And then, like, the chorus is like, oh, Gravy, you're so vicious. Delicious. I don't remember. But there was also a thing on TikTok where, like, and I don't want to get this wrong, but he was like part of his thing was like the older women were into Young Gravy. Something like that. I don't remember.
I think I just realized what the name means and the connotation behind it. So, Ben, I'll explain it to you off the air.
Thank you.
When you get there. Because I can't really do it here.
Do it on the member stream tonight.
Tonight I can do that.
Well, we're still talking.
But I don't understand. What does this mean that they signed him to a contract?
Well, I mean, it's just like the Mets had
Hawk. It's an honorary one-day contract.
Oh, it's like the Mets had Hawk.
He's like a make-a-wish kid for the day.
Right, right. Like, but they brought him out.
Why can't he just throw out the first pitch?
So imagine you're in the
club.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you imagine you're in a clubhouse. You're trying to get your work in. You know, you had that exciting walk-off last night, but you're tired, man. You're not having a good year. And then Young Gravy strolls through the clubhouse. You're like, I just got to get my T work, bro.
They may be inspired. I mean, you know, they're younger players. This may be inspirational.
Yeah, I bet Paul Goldschmidt is elated. Oh, hell yeah.
Nolan Arenado.
What's up, Young?
I don't think Young Gravy is of the celebrity status where anybody
Mason
would
Wynn might be excited,
excited
about
it.
Mason Wynn might be excited about clubhouse. Young Gravy.
I don't think so.
God, that's great, dude. That was great.
Someone going to bring me a pizza? Usually if I'm working at this time on a Thursday, someone's brought me a pizza.
That's true.
But here we are still talking. No pizza. But we do have Sammy Levitt. He's getting ready for the Eco Water SoCal pregame show. 10 minutes away from Sam Levitt. And, fun series, Sammy. Obviously, a lot of drama the last 3 days for the Padres and the Cardinals.
Yeah, yesterday's game felt really winnable. I mean, I thought the issue, the name of the game yesterday was just missing opportunities, right? I mean, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position, and it wasn't about just the ninth inning, and you guys discussed the bunt earlier, and I had pretty much the same take in the post-game show. Look, there is an argument for bunting, there is an argument for not. And I think there are very strong arguments on both sides. And look, if Jake Cronenworth hits a fly ball deep enough to get the run in, we're probably here the next morning saying, oh, what a great baseball play, right? What unselfish baseball. You win the game, you set it up, you execute late, another great Padres comeback when it didn't work out. And like that's the thing that I think is interesting as we move into the final month. They have been so good in the second half. I don't want it to get lost in the day to day when they lose.
Right. It's
a game.
That's the tough part.
You're in a really tight race right now. Yes. And the Diamondbacks have not slowed down. They had another terrific win yesterday, but you know, you got to keep winning. You also got to keep it in perspective that at this moment, they're not necessarily fighting for their playoff lives. They're fighting for seeding. They got to keep playing well. But, you know, you can lose a game. Now you want to go out and win the series today.
Well, the one thing that this team has done consistently is they've stayed on their plan. Jurickson and Profar did this exact thing, same thing earlier in the year. It didn't work out. Mike Schilt was questioned about it. Jurickson was questioned about it. So when it happened last night, I knew exactly what was happening.
Right.
They've stayed consistent. Game one, they're hacking early. They are all over Michaelis's fastball. They're not all hits, and they're not all, you know, doubles, but they have stayed consistent. What screws teams is when they try to play a different brand of baseball than what got them. You know, if you get to the playoffs or the postseason or a big series against Arizona or L.A., and everyone's up there yakking, you know, trying to yak one out of there to win a ball game, that's when the team is toast.
But we know that in the playoffs that home runs are
they're huge.
Absolutely huge in the postseason.
And we can hit them. We can absolutely hit them. Yeah. I mean, it's not that they can't. They're not selling out for
it. I think for me, as they said earlier, I don't mind Jurickson bunting. I like that he mixed it up. Like, he may swing away one day. He may bunt another day. If that was a playoff game, though, I don't want Jurickson bunting there. I want Jurickson swinging away. When the season's on the line, you got to have your best guys.
I don't know. Why do I feel different?
Swinging
away.
Why
do I feel like in a playoff game, I feel different?
Yeah, I also thought the situation yesterday with Helsley on the mound, the guy who gets a lot of strikeouts, like, you do put Jake in a situation there where if he strikes out, it kind of ruins the point of the bunt. So I thought the fact that it was Helsley there, a big strikeout guy, yeah, you could have gone either way with it. I thought the bottom line is, like, if they score the run on a sac fly, I think we're sitting here this morning saying, great baseball play.
But we're still playing the game because it just went to extra innings with Nolan
Arenado. Point. Yeah, and look, you made a good point earlier about the bigger inning. It's a fair point. When you bunt, you do take away, or maybe it was you.
That was my point. Thank you.
I agreed with it, though. I accentuated and agreed with the point.
It's a good point. It does take some air out of the balloon when you talk about a bigger inning in that spot, and we have seen them in those types of situations get more than one run.
If you're in the bottom of the inning and you know one run wins the game, it's over. It's a walk-off. There's more of an argument. Bunt them over, get that one run. In the top of the inning, the other team gets to bat again.
Yeah.
And you don't want to eliminate the possibility of scoring two or three, because you might need two or three to win that game still. So that's another reason why bunting was not, I think, the best idea.
And I thought the quote from Jurickson after the game was interesting.
I loved it too.
Talking about how he's 0-for-4. Yeah, I mean, you know, there was the moment against Minnesota on the Tuesday night, the second game, when they were down by two. They had two on, runners on first and second. Remember, he showed. Then he got ahead in the count 2-0, and he hit a home run. Yep. So look, Mike Schilt has been very consistent in a number of areas, and this is one of them, letting players play.
Yep.
And make decisions, and sometimes that's going to work, sometimes it won't.
And more often than not this season,
it has worked.
But don't get crazy.
How many times have you heard a ball player go, I was 0-for-4, but it only takes one to get out of a slump?
Sure, 100%.
It takes just one swing to turn everything around, and we see that all the time.
And again, though, for him, the last guy you want to try to get right against is probably Ryan Helsley. I mean, anything can happen. He's given up hits, he's given up home runs, it's going to happen. But, you know, I certainly understand his logic, and again, the fact that it happened earlier in the season, I went, this is exactly what he said the last time. So I knew it was coming.
Yeah, and look, hindsight's 2020.
Of course.
If they execute late like they've done so often,
we're good
probably barely mentioning it.
Bottom line, though, is 13 down, 5 to go in this streak of 18 games in 18 days. And the Padres have done absolutely nothing to hurt their playoff chances in this stretch.
Not a bit.
No.
Which is kind of what you were looking for. They're still at 96.4%.
And the rest of this week, with the Dodgers and Diamondbacks playing one another beginning tomorrow, there's a real opportunity.
Tampa series, huge. To
take command of one, especially if Arizona loses, you know, 2-3 games. So it's a big week. There's no doubt about it. So we'll see.
Yeah, you finish this road trip strong, you will gain ground on someone.
Yes.
Or maybe a little bit of ground on both. But in some way, it's going to help you by the end of the week.
Yeah, I know it sounds weird for Padres fans. I'd be rooting for Arizona to lose. I mean, it feels like getting home field in that.
Well, I mean, it's a much more likely scenario.
It's hard to pick
up four games in 27 days.
Diamondbacks go, the problem, too, is the Diamondbacks would also gain ground on the Dodgers.
Right.
So, it's tough. Can't have everything.
All right, we are done, and Sammy's going to take over this seat, and we'll bring you the EcoWater SoCal pregame show coming up next, and then the game, the post-game show, and we will be back tomorrow morning for the Friday edition of Ben and Woods starting at 6 a.m. For Paul Reindel and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Enjoy the game and have a great rest of your Thursday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.